Now in chapter 62, we get more details concerning the millennial joys of restored Israel and the earth in that day. Now, you have here the yearning of the Messiah for these anticipated joys. And it is something that also ought to be in the heart of the believer. There is a grave danger of us today as believers looking for the coming of Christ to take us out of the world, to use it as an escape mechanism. People get into real difficulty, and they then want the Lord to come. I remember that when I was in seminary, maybe I've told you this, but we had a Canadian, and he was a great fellow, and we liked to kid him. He didn't have much sense of humor, but we enjoyed kidding him. And so he would come out at night after we had dinner, evening meal, and he'd look up, and he said, "Oh, if the Lord would only come." And that was only the nights we had Hebrew the next day, and it was hard. And he wanted the Lord to come that night. What he really meant was that he didn't want to study Hebrew, and he wanted the Lord to come. Now, when he graduated, he got his degree one day, and the next day, a beautiful girl came down from Canada, and they were married. And I never shall forget the night before graduation. He came out and looked up, and he said, "Oh, I hope the Lord doesn't come now for a few more days." Yes, that's right. That's the way a lot of us are. We say today we want him to come, but what we really is, we're on a hot seat down here, and we'd like to get off of it. And it ought not to be that. Now, will you notice the picture that's given to us here? We have the ambition of the Messiah for Israel in these first five verses. Then the anticipation of God's people for the millennium, and then the announcement of the Lord for that future day. We'll call attention to these divisions as we move through. Now, the first one, the ambition of the Messiah for Israel. "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Do you know the reason Jerusalem can't have peace today? It's because there is somebody sitting yonder at God's right hand that wants to rule in that city in righteousness, and he just can't wait. And I ought not to use that term when you speak of deity, but he's just ambitious. He wants righteousness to be in that city. And you can call it the holy city if you want to, but it's anything today but holy, but it's going to be someday. Now, the zeal of Jehovah of hosts is going to perform this, and man won't make the kingdom. United Nations won't do it, that's for sure now. That's obvious. I don't think we as a nation can do it. I don't think anyone can bring peace into the world but this one here. And so, only the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And therefore, even today, all of creation and all believers are groaning in their present state as they look toward the future. A great day's coming, friends. And we got a right to groan about it. Christian pilgrim today, aren't you weary of this earthly journey? And do you desire the fellowship of the Father's house? That's a question for us today. Now we are told in verse 2 here, "The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." A new heart and a new situation, a new earth, a new righteousness. Well, it all demands a new name. Old Vernon McGee's going to be gone. I don't know what new Vernon McGee's going to be like, but he's going to be new. And we're to be in the new Jerusalem, but what a wonderful picture is given here of the future. And redemption involves not only the church, but the nation Israel and this earth, the physical earth. And we're all groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for that day when it's going to be a grand deliverance. Now we're told here, verse 3, "Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Israel's going to have a new position. And now notice this. "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And I hear people sing Sweet Beulah Land. At least I used to hear it. I haven't heard it in several years now. Sweet Beulah Land. And they didn't have the foggiest notion where Beulah Land was or what it meant. Well, let's look at this. Israel has been forsaken. This is the picture. And name of Israel since the crucifixion of Christ. All you can say when you look at that land today is forsaken, desolate. That's the name. And that's the description of it. But in the coming kingdom, they shall be called Hephzibah. Now, that's a funny name, but it means delightful. It's going to be a delightful spot then. I've made the statement before, I don't like Jerusalem the way it is today. It'll be delightful in that day. And Beulah means married. In other words, the king is present or protected, and his presence means joy. And we're told, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He delights over Israel as a bridegroom over a bride. Now you have here the anticipation of God's people here. I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. This longing is contagious. Every right-thinking person can pray for the peace of Jerusalem, longing for that day. Verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God says, I'll turn and turn and overturn until he comes whose right it is to rule. Now, down in verse 11, you have the announcement of the Lord for that future day. Listen to him. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This announcement, it's pertinent, I think, for the present hour, as this verse indicates. We ought to, in presenting the gospel to every Israelite, tell him about God's overall plan of salvation. And the second coming of Christ means the second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom down here for these people. The Messiah is their Savior today. Verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people. They're not that today, and it's not the Holy Land, but it will be. The redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Jerusalem is a forsaken city today, but in that day, it's going to be different, and that's what he's saying here. What a glorious future we have here. We need to know about it. It's in God's Word.